everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, talking about not G.I. Joe for one time. Well, okay, we're going to be talking about not G.I. Joe a bunch of times. This is not exactly an outlier, but we're talking about a thing called kids' songs. Is it kids' songs? Is I getting this right?
Look, yeah, we're talking kids' songs.
Yeah, well, we'll be a lot of Gina singing probably in this episode. So the people at home, we know what you want, and we are going to give it to you here. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan.
Ooh, I'm Gina Ippolito.
I don't know how I didn't see that coming, possibly, but I didn't. And now I think we're all the better for it. This is a song. This is a song. This is a show. It's all of the above.
A song that never ends.
Boy, I'll tell you. The show never ended. I'll tell you that. So this is a job. Look, we all are familiar with the kids bop stuff. Look, if you're over the age, if you're of any
that's
age, your, I mean, over the age,
your
if you're young, you probably know it too.
That's your frame of reference? Kids bop? Kids song. Yeah. I know kids songs before I know kids bop.
I was not aware of this show back in the day, whether the 80s version or the 90s version. I feel like this is something they trotted out in schools when the teacher was hungover on the little trolley wagon. But like, no, I was not aware of this. I know Kidz Bop from the commercials and being everywhere, with the idea being we take songs that exist in our world and we let kids sing them and then we present them to you as new media. And I hate it. Yeah. I hate this genre of music a lot.
I will say that pitch that you just made, if I was the executive and someone was like, hey, you know how we all love songs? And I would be like, yeah, I do love songs. And they'd be like, you know how sometimes they're like sang really well by professionals? And I'd be like, yeah, I like that too. And then they were right. Like, what if we have stupid kids sing them worse?
What if we have stupid kids
that
sing
show,
them worse?
But that being said, and I think I'm the outlier here. When I was like, when this started and when the intro started, and I sent the intro to my brother to be like, did we watch this? And he said he vaguely remembers it. When it started, like, little me would have loved this, because the whole premise of this is like they're sort of pretending it's a show created by, written by, and starring kids. I mean, in actuality, there were adults behind the scenes, clearly.
Wait, what?
What?
Are
what?
Oh, you just blew my mind.
I'm sorry to pull back the curtain.
What a letdown.
And it was actually, according to the Wikipedia page, this was pitched by two people created by Carol Rosenstein and Bruce Gowers, who were music video vets. And
totally makes sense.
And just had like hundreds of music videos sort of written and directed between the two of them. And again, they were probably like, hey, you know how everyone loves music videos sung by talented bands? What if we did music videos sung by stupid kids? And people bought it. But like, little me would have been all about this. Like, I would be like, whoa, can I be on kids' songs? Is this a thing I could do?
Sure. I mean, well, I think we all would have thought that.
The reason why we're doing it is because we're talking with one of our patrons, Channing Sherman, who said exactly that. That when he was a kid, he saw this and was like, I want to be on this. I could be on this, right? I could be on this. And,
yeah.
You know, when you have that, it's like when you call into the radio station, you're like, I could be on the air. I could be on the air. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why, like, which is what I tried to keep in mind. I can suspend my disbelief a little bit better than Ray, but like, while I was watching this, I mean, I definitely wasn't saying like, oh God, I love this, but I was able to say like, oh my God, if I was a little kid, I would freaking love this.
Yeah.
I am a fan of music. I am a fan.
Here's the thing: you say that, but then you say that, but you do not. You have never heard the John Fogerty song "Centerfield," so I
still talking about this.
Look, I would argue that that's not music.
It's worth talking about because it did directly lead into this. Because when we had Channing Sherman on an episode this weekend, I brought it up to make fun of both of you yet again, because I'll never let it die.
And I fully realize. Well, you'll forget. You'll forget within a couple of weeks, I think.
Here's the thing.
And
I
then,
fully
like,
realize.
2 years from now, me or Chan will remember, and you'll say that didn't happen. That's how I believe this entire scenario will play out.
That tracks. That tracks. And I'll say, who are you guys? And also, I fully realize this will 100% bite me in the ass when there's something very obvious that I don't know. But no, I brought question. It up to you know, the patrons that we had on, who all universally derided Ray for not knowing this.
Outrageous.
And then Channing Sherman said, I remember it being on this show, Kid Songs, and tweeted at us the link to the episode of Kid Songs where they sing that song. And Chan thought it was this episode, which it turned out it was not.
Which is weird because he gave you a link, Chan. So how did we end up here?
He gave a link to this song, but the full episodes, because I looked up the episode listings and I saw one and like it had that Centerfield song on it, and then it had something like March of the Gladiators. I'm like, the Ooh. Fuck are you doing?
Fun.
Playing a gladiator song for children. So I wanted to find that. And it turns out that they did a reboot 10 years later in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like that episode title comes up twice. So I got the other one, and then I was like going through it. I'm like, none of these songs are no what's happening. Then I got to the end of it. I'm like, I'm not watching another episode of this. I'm just not. We're going to be watching this one, and that's all there is to it.
That's fair. Now, to be fair, they did this show, Kids Songs, in the 80s. And as you said, they rebooted in the 90s. We're talking about the 90s version. This is episode 9, Practice Makes Perfect. So, you know, this is kind of a nice kids theme of, you know, you got to try hard and you can get good at stuff. And I appreciated that, you know, as somebody who doesn't try very hard. I appreciate this lesson as a grown-up.
I sent my brother the 80s intro instead of the one that we watched because I figured that would be what he knows better. He was a little bit out of the age group for the 90s version. And he was like, I kind of remember this. And when it started, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of remember this intro. And it's a pretty straightforward show of like, you know, there's little kids in the intro. They sort of discover an abandoned TV studio and they're singing about how if we clean it up, we can make our own show here.
Oh.
And they're the camera people, which, by the way, in this episode, Lady was behind the camera and a lady was the DP. And I like that. I like that message. The little
very progressive
girls were doing it.
No, the diversity here is a lot stronger than there is in Hollywood today. So that's
exactly. It was a very diverse,
wonderful and sad,
diverse crew, diverse cast. But the one thing I didn't remember is that there's a fucking like hallucinogenic blue mushroom man. Yeah.
What was that about?
And I have no idea how it fits into the theme of like kids making shows and singing songs. But I guess they figured like, well, you know, kids have a short attention span, so put like a creepy dude in a fucking blue like alien mouse outfit that occasionally pops up on the desk and is like, hey kids. And I did not remember that. It was very jarring.
I don't blame you for blocking it out. Let me go over the plot of Kids Songs, because honestly, this theme song, Chan, you got to agree, this pretty much lays out everything you like in a theme song, right? Tells you exactly, and it's very long, and it tells you exactly who these people are and what they're doing and how we got here. And it tells this. So coming in, I had no questions, but I also had a lot of questions.
I love it. I like this theme song. I've been humming it around my apartment, my house all day, replacing certain words with butts and poop as I do. But it was catchy. Brand. It's catchy.
Yeah. Jen, can we hear a little bit of this theme song? Actually, now that I think about it, I think it's important for the people at home to really understand where we're coming from. And then I'll lay out the plot as I understand it.
Went to the TV station and we asked the question.
Now, that sounds more like a threat to me than it does a promise.
Yeah, if you just change the intonation just a little bit, we're gonna be coming to your city or town.
Oh, no, 100% you're wrong about the pitch, because the pitch was, you know how it's really creepy when like a choir of children sings like a nursery rhyme in like a horror trailer, and you're like, ring around the rose. What if we do that, but like a TV show on PBS? And like, what if they like make it, you know, like a major key? And they're like, all right, just sign the fucking checks, man.
Yeah, I will also say, and again, I'm a fan of this, or little me would be a fan of this. But this like really hammered home to me how spoiled I've become by current day reality shows. Because basically, like, you know, the premise of the show is these kids are putting together their own show, and they have sort of like desk bits in between these music videos, which are all like public domain songs, like "Oh Susanna," instead of like really. So I was like, oh my god, the songs are terrible. It's just "Oh Susanna." But they'll throw to like a music video, like they'll be like, and, you know, like we're singing "Oh Susanna" down on the ranch, and then it'll show kids around horses and singing. And like there is choreography, but it's the most basic ass, like, okay, kids, like clap your hands and move your head to the left, clap your hands and move your head to the right. And what? After just like, I just watched the like Billy Elliot scenes with Spider-Man, with young Spider-Man.
Mm.
What the fuck's his name?
No idea what you're talking about right now.
I am lost.
I Am Legend.
Oh my God. No, it's, you know, what's his butt? Spider-Man. New uh-huh. Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. New Spider-Man hanging out with Billy Elliot,
Miles Morales.
Scottish TV
he was
star.
Fucking Billy Elliot.
Whoa. Why would he be fucking Billy
Gina,
Elliot?
Are you sure that's, this is the kind of underage movie that you saw on Disney Plus?
Not a fan. No, I don't approve of this at all.
You people not know this. What's his name? Not Toby. Tom Holland.
Is
Tom
Gina
Holland.
Mad at us because we don't know the thing that she also does not know?
No,
yeah, she's really enraged over the fact she made something up and we don't know what she's talking about.
It's very clear. New Spider-Man, Tom Holland, got his start on Broadway in Billy Elliot. So every time people repost that fucking lip sync battle where he's doing Singing in the Rain and everyone's like, oh my God, look at what a great dancer he is. Like, go and look up Tom Holland, Billy Elliot. And the choreography for these like 10-year-olds starring in Billy Elliot is amazing. Like, I could live 1,000 lifetimes and never be as good at dancing as these kids are. And there are other kids shows like America's Kids Got Talent or whatever the like kids version of the adult reality shows are. So when this started and they started the choreography of like clapping and stomping their feet in the rhythm, I was like, this is it. And they do it for every music video. Like, I thought it would get better. I thought they would at least like do some actual steps, but the choreography is so, so bad. And so I was just like, man, I am spoiled by the 2000s. Also, side note, as someone who worked on a kids TV show, which like also had like adults who could work more than 2 hours at a time. This must have been a nightmare to make with that many kids, and they have to sing and do like clapping in time. This must have been so terrible.
See, now this is where I got confused where Gina was talking, because when she said Billy Elliot, I took her to mean Scottish actor Billy Connolly.
Oh my God, you're the worst. It's one of the most famous musicals of the past different... like 15 years. You're the worst.
Well, Gina, apparently it came out in the year 2000, so you're wrong about that too.
That's within 15 years in my mind.
Listen, 10 years ago was 1990, and nobody will ever be able to convince me otherwise.
Exactly.
Thank you. But I was thinking, like, what was Tom Holland doing with Billy Connolly dancing?
Oh, my God.
And it turns out nothing. He was doing nothing in that particular regard. So don't worry about me. Now, let me break down the story of kids' songs. The story goes there was a TV station, in this 90s version at least, and it was already up and running and fully together, kind of like a local public access station near as
no,
I can tell.
It was and abandoned.
In
the
80s version,
wasn't.
Maybe, but not in the 90s. Not in what I watched today.
Oh, okay. I'm getting confused. In the 80s version, it was abandoned, and they find it, which is way cooler,
was it really?
By the way. Yeah, they go in and things are covered by dust. And
oh, did you watch the theme song or something?
Yeah, I watched the 80s theme song. Like the 80s intro.
They are like cleaning up a studio, but it was like they went to the station and said, can we have a show? And they're like, and then they're like, oh, we'll do all the work ourselves. And then you see them sort of like cleaning up. So it's like, you know, like
maybe they just got like a shitty studio that no one was using. And
that's,
you know,
just it. It's a shitty public access channel station that like two people were doing conspiracy videos out of, but it's otherwise fallen into disrepair.
Yeah.
This pile of children storms in and says, we want to make shows. And the people are like, I don't know. And then they're just like, well, we'll clean and operate literally everything. And they were like, well, fuck, we can't afford a cleaner. So, yes, you children can work off the price of doing this by managing the studio. So the story goes, they have made a show with kids, by kids, for kids, where, in theory, children occupy every single role from the booth to the camera operators to the showrunner. Everything is kids, except for the fact that we see there are two adult characters who like are running the station, who for some reason have no problem leaving them virtually unsupervised. Now, through all of this madness of them creating a studio news program, which is just them throwing to various children's music videos, they also somehow, I don't know if they accidentally performed a satanic ritual, but they brought this deformed blue costumed character named Billy Biggle, whose size is very dependent on which camera we're using, apparently, because he's either about 6 inches tall or he's 6 feet tall given the angle. I'm just not sure. And the children have decided they're going to hide the existence of Billy from the people who run the station, but additionally put him on television at the same time. I don't know how this dichotomy breaks down. Maybe adults can't see the character, but I saw the character. I'm so confused as to what is happening in the story of Billy Biggle, who seems like he's more so a mischievous imp who is interrupting the broadcast to annoy people than actually helping or serving in the creation of this program.
I feel like the thing that I latched onto was like, my God, there were so many shows in the 80s and I suppose the 90s too, where kids are keeping a secret from adults. And I'm like, how much child abuse was going on that like in the cartoons we had to teach kids, there are some things you just don't tell, you know, like CPS. Okay. Like, when they had to let Mr. Snuffleupagus out, like reveal that, because like they're teaching kids bad things. Like now everything looks dark and horrible to me looking back.
Well, and the thing is, that's one of the many reasons that I love Sesame Street, because they didn't just like put on a show. Like they were like, let's get fucking child psychologists in here. And the whole thing with Snuffleupagus was that, you know, they changed the wording of it originally, because originally it was, he was an imaginary friend and you're not telling people about them. And then the child psychologist basically said, well, you don't want to teach kids that if they tell an adult about something, they won't believe them. Mm-hmm. So instead they had kids on the show say, I have this friend Snuffleupagus. And the adults said to them like, oh, that's great. Instead of saying, well, that's like, he's not real, basically. A little Sesame Street backstory for you. But I will also say, you know, watching this and like seeing the weirdness that is Billy Biggle. Is that his name?
Billy Biggle is his name. Yes.
Yeah. It's also weird. Like, I don't like that the first half of his name is like a real name. Like Snuffleupagus, like that's not a real thing, but this seems like, it's a guy who just dresses like this. His name is Billy.
It's the same problem I have with Billy Elliot. I'm like, why are you giving it a real name when it's clearly just some like fantastic homunculus that doesn't exist, just in Gina's head.
But like one of my issues, which again, I think as a kid, I would have loved this because I would have been like, they're just like me. These kids are clearly not actors. Like they are not good. They're not, you know, like and sort of contrast this with the one channel that I didn't have, which was the Disney Channel, where their whole thing is that they're polished kid actors doing things. Oof,
that's almost worse though.
These are kids. Oh, of course. In the real world, it's worse. But like, these are kids who can't really sing or dance or act. And they're like acting opposite this imaginary or this not imaginary creature, this gargoyle escaped from hell, Billy Biggle. And he sort of shows up and they're like, hey there, Billy Biggle, how are you doing today? And it's just so, the kid that's like the star of this, the kid that wants to be the magician, is just the worst like kid actor I've ever seen.
He disappears when the spotlight's on him, doesn't he? Really...
And also, by the way, when like the big payoff is that he wants to be this assistant and then he does jack shit.
Okay, we'll talk about that, Gina, because I have a lot of thoughts about this magic show as well. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's just... So they took over the studio and kids are involved in every part of production. That's what we want to know. We open up with a whole conversation about we want a magician for the show. So the kids have this idea like we're going to have this children's magician named Rainbow Wizard, which, okay, part one, I assumed it was a Klansman, first off. And two, as they
like,
spent
but
about...
But like gay yes. clan, the gay clan.
Yeah.
Because it's the Rainbow Wizard. Or yeah, I guess...
Why do rainbows make you think of the clan?
At this
I don't
time,
think it was the
like...
rainbow part I was worried about, Gina.
I think rainbows were still kind of associated with Greenpeace more than LGBTQIA rights. So,
probably.
Like,
okay.
Maybe he's supposed to be like an environmental.
No,
wizard.
Had he been a pride wizard, yes, I maybe would have had a different idea. But if somebody comes up to me on the street wearing a cloak and he says, "I'm the Rainbow Wizard," I'm just going to assume he lost his hood. Like, that's it.
Ray, if someone comes up to you and says they're the Pride Wizard, that's probably not either because it's probably white pride.
Also,
oh,
you know
no,
what?
You're right. Yeah. Oh, no, I would have trusted that man.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah.
But also, you know what? Like, poor actual wizards, because, like, they're getting a bad rap. They just, like, when they were little, they decided they wanted to go into the magical arts. And then they spent, like, years studying magic to get their wizard hat. And someone was like, "Hey, you fucking racist." And they were like, "What? I just like magic."
No, they could have gone with the more eminently cool moniker of Warlock, and I still get the same ideas, except I have no, messing that with the Ku Klux Klan. I'm just saying, there's no affiliation if you call yourself a Warlock.
I feel like Warlock has other bad
connotations. Nothing bad. I can't think of a single thing other than those cool movies from the early 90s, which actually were awesome. So, no, nothing Sands. Negative whatsoever.
I prefer the term necromancer myself.
Well, now that, Chan,
like
is a little different.
To romance the neck. Yeah. I'm going to give you a hickey on your neck.
I don't know what that means. I don't think you got it right there. And I do believe there are negative implications of necromancers. As well. But let's just go ahead and move forward. So they have to, the kids group together to talk to the two station heads who are most decidedly adults, and they have to convince them we need a magician on the show, and they talk them into it. They talk about, I don't even know what they said, who cares? But no, they said, let's bring on a magician.
You want him to teach us how to do tricks. And like the adults are like, I don't know about that. And they're like, oh yeah, no, but also the value of like working hard and you know, like getting good at something. So like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Sure. Kid, do we have to pay him? No? Great. Bring him on.
Bring him in.
That's fine. We have no money. And we also learned that one of our two, what do they call them? The desk jockeys or the anchors of the show, if you will, because they literally set it up so it looks like a local TV news desk, which I thought is a weird take on how we want to present this show. But in the 90s, that's how we did things. Oh, and one of them...
I liked this, though. I think, like, especially, you know, like the sort of like Linda Ellerbe... Kids News was big back in the 80s, which again I freaking loved, like kids sort of delivering you the news. So to me, this is a clever way to format this of like a news desk and then throwing it to you know, like it's sort of set up like a late night show where there's desk bits and then there's a sketch with the magician and then in between that is they're throwing to like music videos. So I actually, this was a structure that I appreciated rather than just like all chaos and kids talking about shit with no structure.
That's fair.
Is what you're saying.
A podcast. And to be fair, the big 80s Linda Ellerbe Nick News show you're talking about, of course, started in 1992. But
what?
It was well known in the 80s, as we all know. Now, well, to be fair, the fact that this existed at the same time that this show was being made actually, to me, makes it okay.
The idea of like it used to be that newscasters were figures that had respect, and so like being at a news desk was like a very adult thing. Now it's just like any racist asshole can just get, you know, in front of a green screen and be like, let me tell you the news.
If I see somebody on TV behind a news desk, I actually feel I trust them less at this point.
I do. I really do. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a sad state of affairs. But if I see a YouTube video and the person starts behind the desk, I'm immediately like, what's this fucking wacko have to tell me? And it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that they're behind a desk. I don't know. It's like they need to prove to me that they that their words will have impact and true meaning and be the truth. But the fact you feel out the gate you need to win my trust with this tells me you're trying to sell me some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm crazy. So
disagree.
Okay. But we learned that the two kids have things they practice who are the anchors. The young lady practices her piano every day. And the young man, he practices dance 2 hours every day.
Yeah, there was I get that the theme of the show is like
we skipped over previews, which was kind of interesting. Like
we did, but who cares, we're gonna
wait,
get to
I
it.
Don't even remember this. I want to hear about it.
They're just like, here's what we got coming up, and they play like a little snippet of the Frog Song and Ooba and Oh Susanna, and right. I was like, what's going on here?
It's Battlestar Galactica intro but for kids news or kids songs. It was really
100%.
Yeah, I will also really say upsetting. Like, and I'm sure we'll go through this when the songs come up, but there were some songs where I was like, did they invent this for this? Because I've never heard that fucking frog song.
No, yes. And nobody's ever sung Ooba Wooba. Don't fucking.
Well, we'll hear every song in its entirety on the show, right, Chan? Yeah. Is that what we're doing? We're hearing every song in its entirety?
Yeah,
I had to, goddammit.
In its entirety. But I will say that this, and I asked Chan to get me a sound pull because I get that the theme of this is like practice makes perfect. And I do think it's a good lesson to teach kids to like, try at something and you'll get better. But at some point that like they're like talking about how much another girl practices her skating.
Yeah.
And it is a weird amount of time for a
little kid.
That's
what I'm saying.
What
kid dances 2 hours a day? Like what?
Yeah, I think for the skating, they even say hours a day. They don't even limit it to 2 hours a day. They say she practices her skating for like hours a day.
Yeah, hold on.
A lot of us KidSongs kids have serious hobbies, so we know a lot about practicing.
We sure do. Melanie ice skates for hours every day, and I practice the piano every chance I get. I'm a dancing man.
Yeah, hours a day.
Melanie
man.
Practices her ice skating for hours a day, and that's like not a good lesson. And also, like as someone who I literally did from the time I was 5 years old, every single thing that I could. My mom would basically bring home a permission slip and say, "Do you want to do gymnastics? Here's what gymnastics are." And I would say, "Yes, I do want to do gymnastics." She would bring home something and say, "Do you want to do town baseball? Yes, here's what baseball is. Yes, I do." So like I was doing every single sport, every single thing imaginable because I didn't want to miss out and I wanted to do everything. And I loved it all. I took dance lessons. But like they were all hobbies. I wasn't like going home and being like, I need to practice tap dancing for hours.
Yeah.
They were things where, like I would go, I would play baseball for the hour that I was on the team in the town. And then I would come home and you know, like do eat dinner and watch cartoons or whatever. Like if you're a little kid, you're practicing skating, like you better be fucking Oksana Baiul at some point if that's what it is.
What you're teaching the kids through this is you need to be obsessive compulsive about your hobbies. Otherwise, why fucking bother? Now, there is a moment later in the show where we have some kids who are just like, man, he's really good at dancing and she's really good at piano. And she spends literally every waking second on the ice rink. But I just fucking suck.
Oh, my favorite part of the episode, which when we get to, I will explain why it's every
remember,
comedian.
Ray, when you told Gina to shut the hell up because we're going to get to that exact
hey, you know
bit.
What? Why don't I take a little bit of my own advice? So we get to our first actual song of the thing, and it's the Fuba Wuba John song, and it's celebrating the tuba. Chan, can we hear a little bit of Fuba Wuba John?
Do you really want that?
I want to inflict it on our audience, yes.
Well, fair enough.
Here's the thing. saying, Fuba Wuba John is an adult man playing the tuba.
Yes.
And so I don't know why he's not called Tuba Wuba John.
Okay, wouldn't that make a lot more sense? Instead, to be fair, Gina, the tuba is for us and by us.
I believe. Oh, I believe it's Uba Wuba, not Fuba Wuba.
I got Fuba Wuba out of it. I was listening intently.
I think Uba Wuba is correct because, yeah.
Look, I want to call it Fubu. That's all I want to do is call it Fubu. That's it.
But yeah, it's just kids clapping in front of a man with a crazy mustache in a tuba outfit playing the tuba, and they're going Uba Wuba John while he's playing the tuba.
What's really upsetting about this video, though? No, never in my life. But it's like you know, wide shots of kids dancing, and then every so often they just do an ultra zoom on the tuba player's face, and he bugs his eyes out really far, and it's very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting the way they chose to shot this video.
That is definitely a note that I had. I was like, why is that such a big close-up? I'm deeply concerned about this.
Did John, the tuba player himself, I assume that's his name, did he put into his contract, I'll be in it, but I need at least 3 bug-eyed close-ups during the video or you could fucking kiss my ass.
I think at some point a line is like, saw a frog chase a dog, ooba wooba John. And I was like, this you are right. Not trying hard enough on this song.
No, this is not a thing. So we come back to the studio.
You don't have to try hard. All you have to do is have it air. When it airs, you get a cut for writing the song.
No, look, here's the thing. If the lesson of the episode is you need to practice until it's perfect, they're going with first drafts of these songs, and I don't approve. Oh, Jacqueline's hobby is writing songs. She practices it for 30 seconds a day.
Oh, my goodness. So we cut back to the studio. We show more examples of people practicing and the magic. And the kid, it's like this kid, Mark, is I love magic. And he's doing some of the shittiest tricks.
I thought that at first. And then I was thinking if I was, I don't know how old these kids are. I'm going to go with 8. They look between 7 and 10 years old.
Like each of these children is 32 years old.
Yeah,
just so you know,
there's one like above the age of 12, basically. And if I was an 8-year old and one of my peers was like, watch me make these sugar cubes disappear, even though as an adult, I know he's palming them and he's palming them very poorly. As a kid, I would be like, holy crap, that's cool.
No, you know, I will say he opens with the palming, the sugar cubes and the coins or whatever. And I actually thought that was his best trick. And he opened with it and then turns into like, look, when I shake this pencil, it looks rubbery. And I'm like, why? You don't know how to build a goddamn show. You opened with the best thing you know how to do. And then it's just bullshit. It's just pure bullshit the rest of the way. Mark, I'm mad at you. I hope he doesn't choose you.
No.
I'll say it right now. I hope you don't get chosen.
He knows the kids have a limited attention span. They're going to be blown away by that first one. And then anything after that's going to be, you know what? I think I saw him like touch that with his finger. No, it couldn't have been. Because that first one was so amazing. Like, he's magic. He's literal magic.
Complete bullshit.
Also,
I'm very
they
mad
have access to an actual, I'm assuming, magical creature in Billy Buggins or whatever his name is.
Billy Buggins, that's what we're calling him, yep.
Like, you his know, name, I don't know his what name, he is.
For you, Ray, who was complaining that you don't know what size he is, Big Little Biggle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what? I hate him more now.
Yeah. No. It's
did
fair.
Not help.
You should. Didn't. Absolutely. That his name is descriptive of what he does. It's like John Miller. Like, fuck you. I know you work at a mill. You don't have to fucking make that your name.
Again,
your
I hate
job
that,
is not what you are.
I hate that he has a normal first name. Just call him Biggle. At least that sort of is indicative of a creature. But if you're calling it Billy Biggle, then like people are like, hey, Billy, over here. And then that freak shows up and parents are like, oh, my God. When you said you were sleeping over at Billy's house, I assumed he was a kid from your grade, not a demon from a hell dimension.
That speaks to poor parenting. If you don't know that your kid is sleeping over in a hell dimension, that's on you, really.
That's true. That is true.
To be fair, this is very, very fair. So we now go back to our second song.
Yes, Chan. Because this was the scene where the girl like comes up and he's like, why don't we go, let's see if I can.
Hey, while we're on the subject of practicing, why don't we go to that video we made? Practice makes perfect.
Her voice is so high. I literally thought someone ADR'd her. And it was like for some reason they decided they wanted to go with like a really super childish voice. And then the second time she shows up in the show, I'm like, no, I think that might be her actual voice. I'm like, oh God, that's
hey kid, great why does or your
horrible. I don't stuck. Know what.
Jan, you don't know what kids sound like?
My child is 3 years old and his voice is deeper than that.
That he's a boy. You don't know what little girls have little girl voices.
No, I'm upset by all of this, and I'm ready to move on. The second song we get right here is Practice Makes Perfect, another song that I swear to God they must have made up.
Never heard this song before either.
It's offensive and terrible. And it's about soccer, and they just show like, there's a lesson here. It's just like, kid, when you try something, you're going to suck at it. But if you want, if you actually put in any effort at all, you'll get moderately okay at it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wish being the ADHD perfectionist growing up, that I wish I would have been received this lesson at a very young age, because generally I'll try something and if I'm not great at it right away, I fucking hate it and I walk away from it. And I think that's the ADHD inside of me saying like, you're not good enough at this. Everyone hates you for doing this thing you suck at. Why are you wasting everyone's time and your own? Why don't you fucking die? I think that's what ADHD does to everybody, right?
But basically, here's the thing. You alternatively could have been like me, who did everything and was amazing at it right from the get-go.
To be fair, I mean, were you amazing, Gina, or did your bougie Booton Township uprising just pay people to tell you were good at it? These are the questions. They have to linger because we'll never really get the answer. We'll never really know the truth.
No, I was very much good at some things. I was very fast. So cross country and track I was great at, and not good at other things. For instance, I remain really not very well coordinated to this day.
But you were excellent at all the physical things you tried to do, yet you have no sense of coordination. I believe my premise is gaining some traction.
No, I'm saying I was good at some things and not great at others, but they're right. You get slightly better with practice.
I hear?
I like this song.
Gina's never been good at tipping. She will not tip.
She will not tip.
She's being horrible at a restaurant. She'll just be like, you know what? These peons don't deserve it.
Well, we actually have, guys, we have a special Patreon-only episode that Gina will not be a part of, where we invite members of Gina's family, her brother, any parents that we can get a hold of, and we're going to just basically ask questions about what it was like to grow up in bougie Booton Township. I need to actually get a hold of the royal scribes in order to get some of this information, and they're going to tell us the straight story. Gina, you're not allowed on the show. But it's going to be a tell-all, Gina Ippolito, the bougie early years.
Yes.
We're going to learn, was she really good at soccer, or did she keep falling over and people kept shouting goal because they were paid to?
I'm sure my middle-class public school teacher parents, kids of very poor immigrants, will be very receptive to this line of questioning that implies that they were very rich.
I think it's all going to play out. So look for that coming soon on our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Now, we cut back away from this song.
Hold on. I just got to say that I do not approve of this baby playing soccer.
The baby playing soccer blew my fucking mind, because the baby seemed only partially aware a ball was there, but was still dribbling it better than my kid can, and my kid is considerably older.
I will tell you what, I hated this, and I hated this kid, because first of all, there's like other bigger kids there who don't want to play soccer with a baby. Like, they're not like, little kids never want to play a sport with a baby because they're big kids and they're playing. But in the end, the baby sits on the soccer ball, and all I can think is like, fucking dirty ass diaper baby butt on that soccer ball that some bigger kid is going to pick up and then going to be like, why does my hand smell like fucking baby poop? I do not approve of this baby on the field.
Nope. I think the baby on the field, and there's no, again, because it's only kids, unfortunately, they need kids to be the supervisors of the baby, and they're terrible at this job. So the baby is just wandering the field in the middle of the soccer game. However, I will have you know that baby grew up to be Freddie Adu, a genius level soccer player. So that was,
thank
prodigy.
You. Thank you for having one football name on tap that you could bring up, because I have zero.
Yeah.
Second, is this a bad time to let you know that while my kid was over there last time, Gina, he no. sat on your pillow on your bed and just was like rubbing around. I'm like,
oh, oh man. Boy.
And I didn't find out till we got home that he had pooped his pants. He doesn't wear diapers anymore because he's not.
Gina, I'm glad. I'm glad you still have that katana lying around. Now you can take it to that pillow and get a new one.
Look, we've had it. We've had several discussions about. We were all maybe going to go to a public sort of swimming hole type situation. And some of my friends have kids, and I said, "How are you going to keep your kid from pooing or peeing in that thing?"
Was told
that they have to wear a swim diaper. But then someone said they're going to lie about their kid wearing a swim diaper, and it grossed me out.
You realize that if they're potty trained, they're not going to just go shitting everywhere, especially in a pool.
You're telling me they hit the water and they're not immediately peeing? There are some adults that do that, okay?
When you
listen,
say
Gina,
some
it was
adults,
one time.
Gina.
Yeah. I apologize profusely. And of course, when you say pool, you mean bowl of soup at your last party. Look, I don't know how I got in there.
I just want to be able to enjoy soup in my own home.
Sometimes you got to pee in the soup. Listen, are we kink shaming now? Is that what the show's suddenly become? How dare you? Look, we're barely through any of this episode of Kids Songs. I'm going to progress a little further.
You thought at the beginning, you're like, is this even a thing? Should we?
Oh, I knew better. I should have known better.
I was like, this is kind of a more of a My Three Dads show. And you're like, can we even do it? I'm like, I think we'll be fine.
Well, as soon as I saw Billy Biggle show up, I was like, oh, we have no problems here. That's 90 minutes by itself on the concert of him. Now,
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Are you bored with Man's Best Friend?
Sorry, Fido, we're gonna have to drown you.
Why not try Man's First Cousin? At PetsOvernight.com, we've got every primate in stock, from spider monkeys to gorillas. You'll love your new best friend.
Mommy, Jim Jim bit me.
Oh yeah, then you just bite him back then, okay, honey?
PetsOvernight.com, delivering little bundles of love in a box directly to your door.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
We cut back to another scene where they're just like, where the fuck is this wizard? And then nobody seems to know what a cowboy is, which was the most upsetting thing to me, where they're like, is it a cow who's a boy? Like, what the fuck? No.
That's specifically what Billy Biggle says.
Well, Billy Biggle's a fucking idiot.
Which would make sense if he's from an alternate hell dimension and has never seen cowboys. True. That he's saying, what are these? Can I eat their bones and drink their blood?
Jesus. Billy Biggle.
But also, can I just say that, like, there is one thing that I hate throughout this. Now, as mentioned earlier, there are a lot of women behind the camera, which I enjoy, and they're directing and they're DPing and they're doing all this stuff. But the wannabe magician, whose name is Mark, I believe.
Mark.
Yep. He has a job.
Yes,
he is
does.
Not doing that job because he's not. Is forcing the crew of this television show to watch his amateur magic.
If there was any job, any fucking job in entertainment that should not be that, it is a stage manager. And that is deeply offensive to my theater soul.
And here's the thing. So he, because he hears this, he basically hears, this is my worst nightmare on every set, by the way, is someone working behind the camera who wants to be talent. So this stage manager, very important job, has decided that today he's not doing his job because there's a magician coming later and he wants to angle to be his assistant. So all of these little girls have to pick up the slack. So basically at some point they're like, where's Mark? No one's seen him. I think he's practicing his magic. And they're like, okay, that sucks. I guess I'm going to do his job. And then these little girls fill in for him. And at some point, someone even says, a little girl says to him, he forces her to watch his magic. And her response is, that's great, Mark, but don't you think you should be doing your job? And yes. He says, no, a famous magician is coming later and I want to be his assistant. So no, I shouldn't be doing his job. Let those little cunts fill in for me because they can pick up the slack and learn that they're gonna be doing this for men their entire life. So
it gets worse later because when he's confronted with his superior, who is also a woman, he's like, I'm so sorry. Please don't do it. Please don't. No, I'm so sorry. I promise I won't do it again. So like, he's not only being misogynist, but he's also being political and craven and
sassy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I hate this little boy. And he's teaching everyone bad lessons because at some point I wanted him to get his comeuppance. Like at some point I wanted someone to say, hey, like it's great that you're practicing your craft, but you need to do that on your own time instead of assuming that girls around you will pick up your slack for you without complaining. Basically, they'll do your job and shut their pretty little mouths. And I think that this kid grew up to be someone in entertainment that took credit for all of the girls' work while really just, you know, drinking his Jack Daniels or whatever it is men do these days.
No, that's what they do.
This checks out.
Something happened to me.
I have just closets full of Jack Daniels.
I keep mine out in the open. I don't know. So I have two thoughts about this whole segment. I mean, one, yeah, Mark is a complete and utter asshole. Look, for those of you who don't do theater, who haven't been a part of this environment, the stage manager in the production is literally the one solitary person who has to have their shit together.
Yes.
The only person who has to take it seriously, quite frankly, in the entire production, and the one who has all the worry stress of the world, the only one who needs to care is the stage manager. So if that's the one person you lose, you can kiss your entire production goodbye. The second thing, so that's a bad situation with Mark. The second thing is this moment crept into me as we now spend our third straight segment wondering where the magician is and is he going to show up? I thought to myself, is the magician Godot? And are we going to spend the whole episode waiting for this rainbow wizard to show up and have him never arrive, thus forcing Mark into the spotlight to have to do his shitty ass magic show?
Oh, wow.
In lieu of the actual magician.
Oh, interesting.
Is this the angle the story is going?
It turned
out to not be the case, but you could see why maybe I started to feel this way.
I could feel that way.
Yeah.
Considering that his second trick was the wiggly pencil trick.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. At that age, 100% love that trick. And I'm going to show it to my kid someday, and his mind's going to be blown. And then I'm going to show it to him, and then he's going to be the popular kid because he's going to be able to do it at school.
Oh, Chan. Oh, no.
But
what are you doing?
I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, that's a great trick for little kids to see.
Yeah. Is it magician level? No. But is it a good trick for this age? 100%. So yeah. I'm okay with it at that point, but you don't put that on TV.
But also, doesn't he also do the pencil sticks to my hand trick here?
Yeah, that one's real old. That's like the first trick you learn when you're a kid.
He's literally just holding it there with his other hand, right?
Yeah,
that is correct.
Okay, yeah. Because
did you not figure that trick out, Gina?
No, I did, but then when you said it's a trick every kid learns, I was like, but it's so obvious what it does. Was I missing something? Is it actually more complex than it looks?
Gina's watching it being like, how the fuck is that pen sticking to his hand?
I gotta book this kid Mark for all my birthday parties.
Oh my God.
I mean, he's probably 45 years old now, but
well, to be fair, Gina, this was made in 92, so Mark would have just turned 30 during the pandemic. He'd have to be 2 years old. That's the baby soccer playing kid would have just turned 30 during the pandemic. Mark is probably about 35 and probably is on a team at UCB, I assume. Oh. If he hasn't become a Republican congressman from Florida, given his other actions, that also would hold up. Now, cutting forward.
I did look it up, and I don't think anybody went on to do anything else.
That is a shame.
That makes sense. Again, they are clearly not real actors.
A lot of talent in this room. How dare you? So what I would say is, oh, we do Oh Susanna next. Finally, the first song of the whole crew that I've actually heard of before. And it's pretty pedestrian. It's like a guy with a banjo riding a horse and then a kid like kind of on a horse.
Yeah.
And Oh Susanna. Again. And that's all the notes I took because there's nothing here.
And again, this is the first two songs I think they probably made up for this show. But this song is the most quintessential stereotypical public domain song, like to the fact that like I've seen TV shows make jokes about how like they can't get the rights to something, so they're like, you'll just sing Oh Susanna, which makes me think we're like 9 episodes into this show at this point. How did they just now get to Oh Susanna?
They were holding back their trump cards, obviously.
they repeat some songs. So
of course they do.
Well, just so you know. That's unacceptable.
It's really lame.
I will say I did very much recognize the 80s video director stamp on this, because there was this one shot as they pass by the old man who's like waving at them. There's this like upshot that you get in a lot of 80s videos that's like kind of like near someone's belly button, and they're shooting straight up to look like from their chin, you know? And when I saw that, I was like, this looks like, I don't know, a Men Without Hats song or something like that.
You know what? Yeah, I feel that. No, I feel that 100%. Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. It's hitting me more and more as I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I'm getting excited.
Is it Eric?
Yeah. This is exactly. Yes. Chan, you nailed it. High five. We go back to the studio where we just do more of this practice bullshit, and I just wrote, Billy sucks, go away. Like, Billy is intruding on the broadcast. Like, they're trying to do the show, and he's just appearing to ask ridiculously stupid questions, right?
Oh, I love how much you hate this character.
Oh, I hate him so much. He's just annoying. He's obviously demonic. He's obviously an imp of some kind sent to ruin the broadcast. And they just don't know how to get rid of him. And they made the bad choice of not telling an adult, we need Ghostbusters up in here to take care of this problem. Billy, please leave our broadcast alone.
Okay, look, you're running a TV station. You have to make some sacrifices. You gotta, you know, make some choices that you're not real fond of. Sometimes you sign a deal with the demon and you're stuck with him.
Oh,
and
no, is that how they got the show?
How do we get rid of this motherfucker? Some kids wander in and like, hey, can we have a TV show? And you're like, sure. Just sign this contract.
Oh my God. I think it might even go deeper than that, Chan. Because if you think about it, now if we see the show framed like this, these children are in a cult. Mm-hmm. And all of them are cult members together.
This checks out.
And they've decided they want to go to get the TV show. Understandably, the people say, no, this idea is terrible. We're not going to do this. So they sign away their collective souls to this malevolent creature, Billy Biggle, who they have to hide the presence of because they don't want unwanted adult interaction with their cult to unmask it, uncover it, and you know, shed light on it. But Billy Biggle comes through, gets them the TV show, and then wants to be involved with it to remind them how they got the show through involvement. But now they have to hide his existence from the adults. And look at them. They're obviously a cult. I think this all holds together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is where we get the circus song, which I feel is a real song, but I couldn't place it. I will just say this is the most upsetting circus ever. If this is what circuses were in the 90s, I'm glad they all went away.
There's the bit where they all talk about their favorite parts.
What do you like best?
The big cats.
I love the acrobats and the dancing bears.
I love clowns because they make me laugh.
That's our silly Billy.
That's our silly Billy.
Kill me. Just kill me.
That is his role, and everyone's happy with it. Clowns make him laugh, and we're like, that's exactly what we would expect from you little demonic monstrosity.
Yeah,
you know what? It makes sense.
He very clearly is the sort of fuck up of this group. Like I picture Billy as like as all these kids get older, and you know they sort of go into teenhood and then into like their 20s. Like Billy is their friend who like agrees to go to like lunch and get drinks with them, but then is like, ah, can someone spot me? Like every single time he always asks to be spotted. And then they like have to make him feel, they're like a little bit annoyed by him, but they have to consistently make him feel better about himself. And he keeps like getting jobs, but then he's bored at them and he's just like, oh, I quit that job because I really want to be doing something fun, you know? And they're like, Billy, we all have like 3 jobs. We're in our 20s and like you don't always just get to do a job that's fun. You need to keep one. And he's like, I know, you're totally right. next, I've got an interview. Like, so next week, I'm gonna really keep this one. Could you guys just spot me for the next few nights? Like, I'll totally pay you back. Oh. And they're just loud sighing. And that is what Billy grows up to be in this friend group.
Oh, I feel like I know this Billy, because it's the kind of person who finally gets the job that you think is going to set them right, and it's right in their skill set. It can work. And then like 3 days later, they're on Facebook or whatever being like, hey, anybody know of any jobs out there?
Yeah.
What happened? Like, well, my boss was a bitch.
Yeah.
They're, it's like, they're fuck 100%, you, Billy. God damn it.
Billy is 100% the person that's like, just like talking about how they really want to get this one job. And if they could just get, and for years, they're talking about getting this one job in some field that they really like, and it's going to be great. And then slowly, like after day one, they start complaining about it on Facebook and you all see it coming. Mm-hmm. And then they quit. And you're like, God, you said that was like, you waited for so long. And then they're like, yeah, but like, I told my boss I needed to leave early one day because I had to make it to the Hollywood Bowl in time for this concert that I have tickets for. And he like gave me shit about it. And I just don't want to, I don't think I should be forced to work for someone who doesn't just let me leave.
God. This is too real.
If you are laughing at this right now, you should, because I think everybody has at least one of these friends. If you aren't laughing at this now,
oh boy, you are the Bill.
Are that
you,
friend.
Yeah.
Oh no. And I hope for at least one of you out there in our audience are having a self-actualization moment. and you right the ship is what I'm trying to say. I want you to succeed. I want that for you. But
here's,
please,
the thing. I personally don't want you to succeed. I want all of your other friends to cut you off until you're sad and isolated and forced to go to therapy to fix yourself before you can make a new group of friends, because the baggage is already too much on your old group of friends. See,
if you're new to the show, the fact that I hold this viewpoint and Gina holds that one is shocking to you. If you've been listening for a long time, you'd understand this is par for the course. So cutting back to the thing, the circus, all the animals are in tiny cages. They're making the animals do like circuses stopped doing this shit. So I just like as a whole in this country, they just said, we don't do this anymore because it's upsetting. So when me looking back on a circus being presented as, isn't this great? Me turning around being like, fucking no. It just made me sad. It made me sad to see what was happening over here. Cut back. This is when Mark is showing another trick to another young lady. This is the lady who turns to Miss Chan, said before, don't fucking forget your job, Mark. This is starting to get tedious.
Me that said it. That was me who said that before.
Chan. It was Chan who said it. Thank you very much. Roll the tape. Thank you. Chan, thank you for saying that earlier. So we go to our next song, because we're almost done here. Over in the Meadow, that is a real song. That is a real song that my kid knows.
Okay.
So I can at least vouch for it.
Wait, here's the thing. So I didn't recognize this song, but this habit that they have of talking about what's happening in the music video before we see it is exceptionally weird. Because at some point, they're like, okay, we've got our next song, Into the Meadow. Hey, how'd they get those frogs to stand still? Hey, how'd they do that? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What frogs? Did I miss something? And then they cut to the video and there's like a part like 30 seconds into the video where there's like kids singing behind a bunch of frogs. And I was just like, why would you talk about the music video before we see it? Like, why would you say...
Hype. You might turn the TV if they don't tell you the frog. Oh, frogs are about to stand up. I was about to quit this shit, but now
I got
frogs.
It's the previews at the beginning. That's
what?
Or like it's the same as the previews in the beginning. We're like, here, the songs will be coming up.
Yeah, but it's so weird because they're talking about shit and I don't know it. And then they're like, how about all those fields, huh? Look, we filmed in fields. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's a little weird. It is a little bit weird. Okay. So we do that. We have Over the Meadow. It's fine. There's like animals and kids, and there's like a creek or something. Who gives a shit? So we get over to the wizard finally shows up. So my premise and my theory has been busted right here. The rainbow wizard showed up. Now, what is it about him that makes him a rainbow wizard? Because he wears a lot of brown. He is wearing the most nondescript outfit. He does have a cloak, and I appreciate that. But there ain't nothing rainbow about this guy.
Oh, I assume he sells pills to high school students and they come in a variety of colors.
You're not a magician if you're not selling drugs to kids. Let me start there first. That does track.
Yeah, I was very much expecting Doug Henig, and when dude shows up just all drab, I'm like, wow, this is a real downer. Like,
yeah, I will say I don't want to shit on this magician too much because I'm sure he's a lovely human being, and also, you know, like, he's doing tricks for kids. He's very just sort of lackluster in his delivery.
He knows his audience.
Sort of very, very chilled out. Like, sort of like, who wants to see a trick? Here's a trick. Oh, did you know it does this? And I was like, man, put some fucking pizzazz in it, dude. What are you doing?
I feel like this is the reputation of children's birthday wizards.
Absolutely.
I've never seen one before. I assume that they would be more high energy, but like, I guess if you're like, can we like pay you $30 to like show up and like entertain like 14 6-year-olds for an hour? And I mean, you're gonna get what you pay for at that point. And you're like, yeah, fuck, you want a fucking babysitter for a dozen plus kids? Sure. So, and that's what this dude is.
Yeah, that tracks.
I just looked up Rainbow Magician because I was curious if this is a real guy who's still really performing. Rainbow and Wizard. Unfortunately, a Yu-Gi-Oh card. Yeah, there's a Yu-Gi-Oh card called Rainbow Magician. So when you Google Rainbow Magician, all you get is a pile of Yu-Gi-Oh videos and pictures and informational strategies about how to use the I can't even pronounce it right, but it's the Rainbow Magician card. There doesn't seem to be any actual current performer calling himself the Rainbow Magician.
Wait,
so
did you?
Because
isn't it Rainbow Wizard? Isn't it
Rainbow Wizard?
Wizard?
Oh, well, that's probably why I made my mistake. Yeah.
You were the one making a huge deal about how he was called a wizard earlier. What's happening?
Look, I wanted him to be called the Rainbow Magician.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be no. The rainbow wizard. You know what? He doesn't exist. This is what I'm trying to say. He disappeared from public eye. He unfortunately was apparently in witness protection, made the mistake of going on this show, and then had to completely change his identity afterwards. It was very sad. It was very, very sad. So he's here. He does his trick. He says, "Hi, Mark." And Mark, who spent the entirety of this episode saying, "I want to be the magician's assistant. I'm practicing tricks. I'm ignoring the most important job on set to do this. I'm forcing everyone to pick up my slack." He gets the opportunity to be the magician's assistant. He does a shitty trick, and the rainbow wizard pulls the coins out from behind his ear and says, "You're going to be my assistant." Great. This is great. So we have all this put together. We'll pay it off in the next segment. But until then, here's a jump roping child singing Skip to Malou.
Yo, okay. Let me just say, I think the Skip to Malou might have been the best part of this show. Because they actually found, like, that little Asian boy can fucking jump rope. Like, they got actual kids who can, like, and it makes sense. Kids love jump roping. Like, I used to do it all the time when I was in Girl Scouts and shit, and it's fun and you get really good at it. So, like, it makes sense that they could find kids who could jump rope versus, like, kids who can dance. So this one had the most choreography out of any of the other ones. Like, there is a kid who is dope at jump roping, and he's going real fast, and he's going to the side, and he's going to this side. And then there's a girl who's, like, holding one of her legs while she's, like, jump roping through the jump rope. And I was like, all right, they waited a long time to get to a little bit of showmanship, but I'm digging it.
Okay. You know what? There's actual talent involved in the jump roping, and I can appreciate where you're coming from there. Yeah. Okay. Take it all back. Greatest segment in history of kids songs. Now we cut back to Rainbow Wizard, and thank God, like, he does an extended set here. We get to see Rainbow Wizard work. I think one of my favorite things is he's doing the rope trick where he has the piece of rope that it looks like two pieces of rope, and he's holding it, you know, the funny way you do it. And he says to the kids, and he says, "Hey kids, what's 1 + 1? And one of the kids shouts out, "One."
No, Mark does, because he knows what's coming.
Does he though, Chan?
The girl says one and Mark says two.
Yeah, one of the kids says two correctly. The other kid shouts out one, and I lose my shit uproariously. Chan, I didn't want the sound pull, but now I feel like we need the sound pull because I want to hear this correctly. Because this shit blew my goddamn mind. How do you not retake this when it's so ridiculous?
Now, I'm going to take the middle and bring your hand this way And this way, one and one is what?
One.
Two.
Two? He was right. It's one.
He was right.
What's one plus one?
I said the girl is the one that's wrong.
Absolutely incorrect. The answer to the question, if somebody asks you what's one plus one, and you turn to them and say one, you don't just come back later and say, I was right the whole time. No, you weren't.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. He's supposed to be the fucking assistant, which means that the correct answer is two. You're correct. The plant. You're the guy that's supposed to make it look amazing. If you're like, I already know how this trick works, guys, then you fucked the magician.
Yeah,
so,
the magician says, I'm going to make this girl disappear. And you go, the cabinet's rigged.
My point is that Mark actually got it right.
The girl
got it wrong.
Yes.
I disagree.
Because women
are
stupid.
I understand what Chan is saying. I don't understand what Gina is saying.
The magician even says, yes, Mark got it right.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I found all of this to be upsetting and all of this to be terrible. Now, I ask at the end of the day, Mark was very excited about being the assistant. But at the end of the day, this magician goes on for like a good 6 minutes of act, and Mark doesn't do a goddamn thing.
No, he does not.
And it's even more infuriating because Mark gets off stage, so that the magician does all these, like, you know, all these sort of basic tricks. And then Mark gets off stage and someone says, wow, that magician was great. And someone else is like, I was actually really impressed by Mark. All of his practicing paid off. And so
they're justifying
his shirking work by the fact that he did a good job as his assistant, which, by the way, he did not do a good
job.
And so everyone forgives him for putting extra labor onto all the girls who had to do his job instead of doing. I would have 100% been, even back then, I would have been that kid who said, wait a minute, that dude blew off work all day and did not do any actual magic, and we're just going to let him get away with it. I'm going to go to HR and get him fucking fired.
Well, unfortunately, HR is all children.
Counterpoint.
Joey was great, but Mark really surprised me.
Yeah, I didn't know little guy had it in him.
That is not complimentary.
No,
that
is, he is.
Yeah, that little shit, man. You know, the creepy little shit that hangs out by the camera? Yeah, he's real great, isn't he? Ugh.
No, here's the thing. If Billy grows up to be the weird, like, mooch friend, Mark grows up to be the friend who has, like entitlement issues and is just like, whatever. Yeah, someone else will do it for me because I'm so great. And they sort of all already know that. And my attitude is that he never finishes shit. He probably never shows up to work. So when they heard he was practicing something, they were like, oh, you mean he's getting high and taking a nap and then he'll show up? And when he showed up and was like, yeah, I'm ready to be the magician's assistant, no matter how terrible a job he did, they were still like, you know what? He didn't vomit all over himself because he's been drinking whiskey all day. So I guess I didn't realize that he had it in him to do that kind of job.
Fucking 8-year-olds and Jack Daniels, am I right? Oh, you know,
the funny thing is the way Gina is describing it right now is basically how I feel like they talk about me on this podcast after we're done each time.
You not aware of the Patreon that we have? There's a level where Gina and I do a show about you and white entitlement, Ray.
Oh my God. Here's the deal. I will join that Patreon. I will be your highest donor. I want this show. I need this show.
And to be honest, every time you make it through a podcast without drunkenly puking all over yourself, we are kind of impressed.
I don't blame you. Look, I can't express how much alcohol it takes me to get through a single episode of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Oh my God. I could, you know what? We've been doing the show, what, like 92 years now? And how have we never done a drunk cast? I feel like that's a thing that we would have done by now. Most shows do it and it's always bad and they never should do it.
Oh,
and
no.
Maybe we're just
I
too smart to do a drunk cast.
I would enjoy that. That sounds fun.
I can't feel like the closest we ever got was, I think, watching G.I. Joe the movie
and
on the live version.
I think because Steve Moulton brought us some Bud Lights.
We had some PBR, I believe it was.
Oh, PBRs,
we were drinking PBR. And that was a lot of fun. And I'm not trying to say we should do a show when wasted.
I think maybe we should
record a show when wasted and then not ever release it.
No, I think we should do wasted. I think it works for drunk history. It will work for us.
Yeah, those never seem to go well for the performers, though.
I will say this, Gina, if you could convince either of our spouses to agree to let Ray or I go get drunk to dick around in front of microphones for something that may or may not ever be released, then I will 100% back this play.
Once again,
but I don't want to have to try and
sounds
do that.
Fucking terrible. Are you telling me you can't get drunk once and record a podcast? That's a terrible life I don't want to live.
The amount of time I spend doing podcasts, I've maxed out all of the slack I've been cut.
That's a fair
for
point.
This sort of thing.
It's your hobby.
A lot of podcasts.
It's a hobby that you do.
Yeah.
Is it a hobby or is it an obsession?
Yeah, there's a real thin line there.
I mean, it's here's the deal. Nothing Chad is saying doesn't track with what my experience has been. So anyway, so the show goes on. We have one last sing along with Billy, and I just want to get the fuck out of here. So finally, all the ending to this show is weird. They just take random shots of everybody who's been on the show, and they just turn, look right at the camera, and in the coldest way possible, go, see ya.
Wait.
It was weird.
We skipped over Billy's
I don't want to talk about Billy's crisis. I don't want to talk about Billy. No. All right, Gina, go ahead.
Which, by the way, I chatted the guys to say this is like every sort of dysfunctional comedian. They've had this conversation at some point, like verbatim, that Billy has with this little girl. And it is now this little girl's job to fucking stroke this creature's ego, when really he should be in therapy and not putting on her the emotional burden of, please tell me I'm awesome, little girl. And then she has to say like, yeah, you're great. You're great in this way. And he's like, tell me how I'm awesome. And then she's like, you're great in this way. You're great in that way. Do you think maybe now is a good time to go to therapy? And he's like, don't need it. My friends will boost me up.
Now that Gina has explained the clip, let's go to the clip. I'm referencing, of course, the earlier time when you complained about just such
Billy,
this behavior.
Look, it's great if you find something that you're really interested in, but you don't have to have a hobby that you practice all the time. I don't, and neither does Kevin or Janet.
Really? But I'm still worried that I'm not good at anything.
You're great at being our special friend and at making us laugh.
And is that enough?
You bet.
No, it's not enough. And then Billy enrolled in UCB Level 1 the next day.
You know what? Billy doesn't have that kind of gumption around him.
No.
Billy enrolled in UCB Level 1 next day because somebody else paid for it, and then he didn't show up for it.
Oh, yeah. His parents are paying for it. But I will say, Billy saying, I'm worried I'm not good at anything, his friend saying, like, you're good at being a special friend and making us laugh. And he's like, but is that enough? And she's like, sure, I guess it's enough.
I guess.
And he's like, all right, all I need to do is figure out a way to make a career out of making my friends laugh. And then he like took a UCB class and several years later made it on a team. And his only goal was to like make his teammates laugh. And he thought he was going to be a famous actor, but he like never really broke through. And, you know, then he talked, and now Billy is talking about how he would have had a shot, but now all people want is diverse people. So he, as a white guy, just can't get a break.
I thought
days.
That was entirely about
they
me
never
right
want
up
the...
until the end there. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, it's still about me. Crap. To be fair, though, Hollywood, you know, they don't have a place for the blue monsters anymore. It's not about the blue ones. No, I would take that back. I think Billy showed up for the last 10 minutes of class 3, and that's it. So everybody thought, like, oh, okay, he is going to start showing up, that he doesn't show up anymore.
But he still, still thinks he's the best in the class, even though
Thinks he's the funniest. Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no convincing him otherwise. In fact, he stopped showing up because in that 10 minutes he was there, he could clearly see nobody there was as good as him.
Nobody really appreciated his jokes where he did an offensive Asian accent.
He did an offensive Asian accent in a monologue about dildos, and they just didn't get me, man. This all tracks. And that's our show. That is Kids Songs. Chan, we did it. We were able to talk for more than an hour about
Kids Songs. A considerable amount more, unfortunately.
Yeah, we actually went pretty long, all things considered. We had a lot more to say about the show than I was expecting walking in the door, quite honestly. Again, you add in Billy, and that's 90 minutes right there of pure content, pure raw content. Dear Lord. We got a lot of stuff going on. You know, we just did a live show, Operation Star Raider Redux, as I call it now, which is the second reading of the Operation Star Raider, but we did it with people. So we are going to be doing a Patreon episode soon on a weekend afternoon. So keep an eye out for that if you want to join our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingisheftthepodcast. And you can be a part of it, help us make suggestions. We're going to do the champ of TV wrestling, potentially as a crossover with AE Double Back. And we're going to have this is going to be a show. This is going to be a lot of different people, different minds coming together to make something which might be an absolute train wreck and probably will be, but a delightful train wreck, like an Amtrak disaster of the 90s. It was fun, right? I think we can all agree. It was
fun.
What
is happening? Mm-hmm. Why am I getting dragged into this?
I'm not sure. But anyway, otherwise, thank you for listening to our show. We'll be back next week with a little bit more G.I. Joe, the next episode of G.I. Joe Extreme. Get ready, get excited. We're doing patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can hit us up on Twitter as a show at G.I. Joe Podcast, or individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
So check out the My Three Dads podcast. Check out Who Would Win. Check out AE Double Back. Check out whatever show Gina's going to be working on. Potentially 2022's G.I. Joe. We all want to see it, right?
Fingers
crossed.
Hashtag
get Gina in G.I. Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
We all want to see it. Until then, this has been Kids Songs. Don't be a Billy.
Or a Mark.
Yeah, don't be a Mark either. He sucks.
Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.